Hello. What are the fly? Jay, what's happened in the book since our last podcast?
Okay, so at the beginning of chapter four, the narrator Goldings describes how most kids have adjusted to their new lives on the island. Jack gives his face a new look by smearing clay on it, like face or war paint, and then he and three other kids, Roger and Sam and Eric, decide to go hunting. We find out later that they were blowing off their fire duties, which is to keep the huge bonfire on the top of the mountain going at all times. Due to this, a ship goes by the island without realizing that the kids are marooned there, and Ralph realizes this and tries to start the fire, but it's no use because the ship's already gone. So he gets angry at Jack and the other kids, specifically Jack, because he's more of the leader in that group. And their friendship and trust are practically shattered. And then Ralph begins to turn to Piggy for help, more specifically to start the fire. And then Ralph decides that there should be a meeting where some new rules should be made. So Ralph takes the long and lone road to the meeting platform, and it is here that he realizes that Piggy, although not an athletic kid, is strategic and thinks about what he's doing before doing it. And Piggy sees the bigger picture in his own and in other actions, and this serves as a wake-up call to Ralph. He realizes that in order to be a good chief, he needs to think and create plans of action. He needs to think before doing. So when he reaches the rest of the boys and calls the meeting on the platform, he shares with the group that they need more rules, and of course, they need to follow them. So, unfortunately, most of the boys disagreed with the rules, and they begin to dislike Ralph for trying to organize the boys into a rule-abiding society. So, one thing leads to another, and eventually, the boys, led by Jack, begin to sing a chant and then they march into the forest. So, this is an act of defiance and rebellion against Ralph's leadership, and the only boys left at the place of meeting are Ralph, Piggy, and Simon. And they're all left there with nothing but themselves and their thoughts, which are poison, fear, and anger.
Interesting.
So, Nate, what's being symbolized? Okay, sorry. Read. What symbolism is Golding expressing through the face paint?
All right. So I think that Jack is trying to continue to assert his prowess as a leader by putting on this face paint for camouflage. The face paint represents distinction and strength as a leader. Jack and the other boys are losing their human identity, becoming more blended in with the environment. It could point to the fact that the monsters and animals mentioned throughout the book are created by the characters or within the characters' mind. I know the Lord of the Flies is often allegorical of the Cold War. Golding could be expressing that the fear in the Cold War was based off a non-existent enemy. It was created in their head, or it was created because they thought it was created. It could have been a non-existent enemy for both sides in the Cold War. Communism and capitalism may have never threatened one another, for example, except in people's mind. Star quote, Jack explained to Roger as he worked. They don't smell me. They see me, I think. Something pink under the trees. He smeared on the clay. If only I had some green. He turned a half-concealed face up to Roger and answered the incomprehension of his gaze. For hunting, like in war. Dazzle paint, like things trying to look like something else. That's from Golden 33, 63. My apologies. This expresses the idea of being an animal and that being suited to the environment, as well as the military is suited in the environment, comparing it to the military. Is asserting his dominance as a leader and his ability to hunt.
Right, okay.
Sweet. What is Golding trying to express, you think, Jack, Jay, when he writes Jack into breaking Piggy's glasses?
So Goldings chooses this to be an example of what seems to be Jack's breaking point. So he can't take the criticism from Piggy due to Piggy's appearance and lack of physical ability. So when Piggy begins grilling Jack for letting the fire go out, Jack breaks mentally and attacks Piggy. And there's no real repercussion for this action, so Jack basically gets away scot-free. He's not punished for attacking Piggy and going too far. So this is addressed not long after, but in the form of needing new rules in general. You know, so Piggy Speck's breaking here shows that his intelligence isn't respected on the island, because in literature, glasses typically symbolize either disability or intelligence. And in Piggy's case, this is true for both. Unfortunately for Piggy, his brains are undermined by his girth, and therefore he doesn't receive his deserved respect and doesn't really receive any appreciation. So all in all, Piggy's broken specs represent the disrespect towards him and the disregard for his mental capability. Start quote. Piggy began again. You didn't ought to have let that fire out. You said you'd keep the smoke going. This from Piggy. And the wails of agreement from some of the hunters drove Jack to violence. The bolting look came into his blue eyes. He took a step, and able at last to hit someone, struck his fist into Piggy's stomach. Piggy sat down with a grunt. Jack stood over him. His voice was vicious with humiliation. You would, wouldn't you, fatty? Ralph made a step forward Piggy's head. Piggy's glasses flew off and tinkled on the rocks. Piggy cried out in terror. My specs! He went crouching and feeling over the rocks, but Simon, who got there first, found them for him. Passions. Here, can you move your cursor, Nate? Okay. Can you move your...
Yeah, absolutely.
Passions beat about Simon on the mountaintop with awful wings. One side's broken. End quote. Golding 71. So this is basically the illustration of Jack attacking Piggy, and it just shows how, you know, the look in his eyes really shows how he just kind of snapped, and now he's, you know, he's driven to violence, and he takes all of his anger out on Piggy. So
yeah.
So Nate, has the conch changed in meaning and connotation from part one of this podcast?
The conch hasn't really changed in meaning from part one. It still represents voice in government. However, the focus is now on the failure to distribute that voice in government evenly, creating a sort of devolutionary pressure within the Lord of the Flies characters. The conch is held at a sort of tug of war, and the lack of leadership is driving the characters apart, literally in the form of physically running away with Jack. The book also goes into how lack of voice in government can make people wretched with hate towards one another. You give me the start quote. You give me the conch back right now. End quote. Golding 90.
All right, cool. All right, next question. The title Hunter is held in great respect within this community until it isn't. What does this represent, and how do people invalidate the title, and what is that invalidation representative in society?
The title is held, I think, in great respect, and ends up being respected solely because it is held in great respect. It was respected in society for its help in to the society for the flies, but that authority of Hunter has extended to become more qualified in every facet of the Lord of the Flies, not just providing food. This could be representative of communist and capitalist regimes, which have expanded past federalist to anti-federalist policy to connotatively become two different sides of moral argument, or representative of those two sides of moral argument. With a strong federal government, you're allowing your people to be at the hands of the government, and then allowing people to rule themselves is on the other side of this moral argument. The community of the Lord of the Flies discovers that the title of Hunter no longer has precedence over the monsters on the island, which is their main concern, and they call Jack out on it. This invalidation could be the rising up against communism internally or the breaking up of an oligarchy, as people feel the communist government is not fitting their needs in an ideal manner. This is assuming that this is allegorical of the Cold War. Am I a hunter? Start quote. Am I a hunter or am I not? Golding 83. So, Jay, why is having a leader so important in the story? And why are the boys so upset when Ralph tries to be a good leader? What importance does this hold in the plot and in character development?
All right, so without a leader, people are just like wild animals. They're impulsive, savage, and unstable. Without a form of leadership, there's no way for a society to thrive. Everyone would constantly be at everyone else's throats, competing for survival. However, if there's a leadership system in place, only one person can organize a group to work together, and in that case, they survive. A society can be formed. Unfortunately, some people don't enjoy having superiors who, quote unquote, suck the fun out of everything, especially young children. This is shown in the novel when Ralph tries to create new rules that will benefit the group overall, but the boys don't approve because they aren't any fun. Jack is a character that embodies this idea because despite his age, he lacks maturity and only cares about fun things, like hunting.
Yeah.
This illustrates Jack in a manner where he is irresponsible and ignorant. And this is going to be one huge hurdle for Ralph, as he is chief only by the majority's approval. So Ralph is going to need to grow as a character and will probably need help from Piggy and Simon in order to subdue Jack as well as restore sanity in the rest of the boys. Start quote. The dancing, chanting boys had worked themselves away to their sound was nothing but a wordless rhythm. But suppose they don't make sense, not here on this island. Supposing things are watching us and waiting. Ralph shuddered violently and moved closer to Piggy, so that they bumped frighteningly. You stop talking like that. We got enough trouble, Ralph, and I've had as much as I can stand. If there's ghosts, I ought to give up being chief. Hear him. Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Piggy gripped Ralph's arm. If Jack was chief, he'd have all hunting and no fire. We'd be here till we died. So this shows how Ralph is an overall better leader than Jack because he thinks more long term and he's more concerned with actually getting off of the island, whereas Jack is more just being impulsive and wants to think about short term and hunting and getting food.
Yeah, unsustainable.
All right. So fear drives the boys apart from one another. So how does this happen and what are the repercussions of this driving apart?
That's a good question. Jack diminishes their fear and ignores the idea of the monsters. Jack represents the fear of falling out of societal structure into a wild state. He represents lack of leadership supplied by oligarchy. The driving fear arrives when the boys are overridden by fear of ghosts and monsters and decide to leave Ralph's government with Jack and form their own bands and groups. We've already gone over that Ralph is going to need support from Piggy to maintain this government or bring back these bands or groups that just ran off for their short-term goals. Start quote, a thin wail of darkness chilled them and set them grabbing for each other. Then the wail rose, remote and unearthly, and turned to an inarticulate gibbering. Although unrelated to the leaving of the government, it happens before in the plot. This quote shows how intense the fear is throughout the boys' minds as a collective, and it's possible this could bring them together, even though the question says the fear drives them apart, which it has to this point, but in the future may bring them together. How, Jay, I have a question for you.
Okay, what is it?
How is Golding's argument in The Lord of the Flies?
Okay, well, Golding's argument is shown as he demonstrates how a group of boys would interact with each other over time if they were stranded on an island. Golding displays how children want to have fun, and with someone when someone tries to disrupt that fun, even if they're right to do so, the boys won't care and will begin to revolt against this person and their ideas. So this goes to show just how much good leadership and order is needed in order to have a functioning society. We see this failing leadership and pulling away from the government during the Cold War, for example. And that's it.
All right. We're done here.
Nice. Good.
Sweet.
Talk.
Good. This has been the Lord of the Flies podcast part 2 for Mr. Clement's 6th grade English 9 honors class. Lord of the Flies analysis podcast, and we're done here.
Nice. Lots of fun. Good talk.
Bye.